it by that much.
That tickles!
Good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another edition of Homebrew Talk, your monthly internet radio program that unlocks the mysteries of Zymergy and spreads the homebrew gospel one carboy at a time. Grow Radio is brought to you by Homebrew Talk, one of the longest-running shows on Grow Radio, 4 years strong. Here we are, intro and all, still stumbling along. No, it's actually brought to you by the good people at Grow Radio, Gainesville's own community-based, volunteer-driven internet radio station. Lots of great programs available at growradio.org. And it's also brought to you by your Hogtown Brewers, a merry band of homebrewing enthusiasts.
With a homebrew problem.
With a homebrewing problem. You know, if you're a pro homebrewer, or, you know, a pro brewer all the way down to getting just involved with homebrewing, if you're living in the Gainesville, greater Gainesville area, and you want to get into the best hobby that I know of, check out what we got going on at hogtownbrewers.org. Good evening. My name is John. I am one of your homebrew jockey partners tonight. With me, as always, is my homebrew jockey partner, Ron. Ron and I are both members of the Hogtown Brewers, longtime brewers of beer, mead, and cider in the comfort of our own driveways, and also BJCP certified homebrew judges. Hello, Ron.
Hello, John.
Ron, you know, we were sitting here before the show, and I noticed that you took a phone call, and you were talking into your shoe. What's going on?
Well, first off, by the way, the name of the show is Homebrew Talk.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Might have been skipped. Uh-huh. But I figured today, John, we would get smart with gadgets.
Okay.
Now, we're not going to use any phones in our shoes, although there may be a bottle opener. But
which is just nasty. I mean, who thought of that?
Don't use it.
No.
Yeah, but, you know, when we brew, we like to nerd out with our own gizmos.
Right on.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe in this next hour, we might give our listeners some motivation to try out some new toys. So let's go-go with those gadgets.
Afraid I'm going to have to use my gadget watch. Go-go gadget watch! Huh?
So let me explain the viewpoint that we're going to do on the show today on gadgets. And that is, you know, these are items, they're not critical, but if you had them, boy, are they really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you think about getting these gadgets, but you hold off, naturally, because you're not sure if it's worth it. And unless you're able to try before you buy, you know, you often need someone to explain how great it is and why it's great and give you a little push so that you can pull the trigger and get one. And the first gadget I'm going to talk about totally goes in that category, at least for me. And that gadget is the ThermoPen. If you're not familiar, the ThermoPen is the end-all, be-all thermometer that you want to use when mm-hmm. brewing.
Oh, yeah.
It's the bomb. Now, I've been eyeballing I have one now, but before I had one, you know, I've been eyeballing that thing for years, mainly because I watch a lot of Good Eats with Alton Brown, and he'll bring that bad boy out. And it's an amazing thermometer, but it's a little on the pricey side. So I'm sure. Like, well, looks cool with Alton Brown doing it, using it, but he's got a bigger salary than I do, and it's, you know, and I need to pinch my pennies. So I hold off and I get other things instead. But, you know, several months ago, I got a chance to try it before I bought it because our good friend, food science guy Eric, he's had one for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And we were brewing together and during a group brew. I asked to borrow it because I just had to. And it only took one time. And so I've now drank the ThermoPen Kool-Aid. And here's the deal. Most of us, if you don't have one, we have our own thermometers, and they're usually on the cheap side, 10, 20 bucks. They claim to be fast read and accurate. They're not. the accuracy, you always definitely have to calibrate those. And response times, all, I mean, I've gone through so many thermometers, and I don't care how fast they say, I don't get a solid reading that I'm confident in until at least 30 seconds, maybe even a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, for high temperatures, because you're watching it climb so slowly. But the ThermoPen, it does the two biggest things you definitely want in a thermometer. It's extremely accurate. It's accurate to plus or minus 0.7 Fahrenheit. Good enough for me.
Oh, yeah.
And for many things. Good enough for chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And the response time, it'll get you that accuracy within 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to wait 30. That's a 10x improvement, maybe more, compared to those other thermometers. And when you need that fast read, you know, especially for when you're measuring mash temperatures or your sparge water, and a lot of times measuring the mash, you know, you might be a couple degrees off, but if you have to takes like 30 seconds or a minute to figure that out, and then you're like, oh, do I have to add more hot water or heat it up or whatever? And you have to trial and error measure your temp multiple times. You need to need fast response.
Oh, no doubt. Not to mention when it's 90 degrees out and you've got your hand in steam.
Yes, you're sweating right there waiting for the, you know, the final reading.
Right.
And of course, it's great for, you know, even measuring the water that comes out of your sparge gizmo, reading the high, the wort and the high, you know, before you measure it with a hydrometer. And the ThermoPen, because of its accuracy, is great for calibrating their thermometers.
Sure.
You have the confidence.
Yep. Yep.
Now, if you get a ThermoPen, and you should, you can configure it, tailor it to do with some choices. If you open up the battery compartment, there's these four dip switches. You can change it between by switching whichever the appropriate dip switch between Fahrenheit and Celsius. You can change the resolution for as good as 1 degree Fahrenheit or accurate as 0.1 degree Fahrenheit. Personally, I want that accuracy. I switch it on to 0.1. I'm not so sure that that's the default. Now, it has an auto off feature, which means when you unfold it and you're not using it for 10 minutes, it'll switch itself off to save, the battery. But if you have a long brew day, that might be mildly annoying because you always have to fold it and turn it back on.
Mm-hmm.
But you can turn that feature off with the appropriate dip switch. And then there's a trim adjust. You won't need to mess with that. Don't worry about it. Now, for calibration, they give you instructions even to calibrate your ThermoPen, even though you don't need to. They've done it for you, and it's already accurate. But to make you feel better, you get your ThermoPen, and you go make yourself an ice water bath. And to properly do that, you put a bunch of ice in a cup and some water, but the ice should not be floating. If it's floating, you're doing it wrong. So it should have a lot of ice, and that means the water that is in it is indeed 32 degrees. So you dip the probe into the water, and of course, I had to do it because I was curious, and yeah, it was spot on, 32 degrees, maybe 32.1 or 2, but... Mm-hmm. Better than any thermometer I had ever had.
And one of the things that really impresses me about the ThermoPen is that probe, it's got the finest little tip on it, and just getting that in the liquid. So it, as you said, it's great for your sparge water. It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah, don't be clumsy. It's an ice pick.
Yeah.
Keep it away from your eye.
Take your eye out, man.
Now, it's important that you also give this proper cleaning when you're done using it. Now, because you don't want bacteria festering on that probe. Now, during your brew day, in between uses, you know, you can simply rinse and wipe it in between. But when you're done for the day, give it a good rinse and wipe off any gunk that's on it. Then I wipe it down with a Lysol sanitary wipe, then a final rinse and dry it off with a paper towel so it's good for the next time. Keep it pristine, by God. Now, well, what's the cost? And, really worth it? First off, yes, else I would not devote a section of this podcast to it. You can buy it at thermoworks.com, and there are very different varieties of ThermoPens you can buy. For me, I bought the backlit ThermoPen. It's just as good as the other ThermoPens. but with a light. And it's an intelligent light. You don't have to mess with anything. It senses if it's dark or not that you need to read it.
Good for moonlight brew.
It is. Any brewing in the dark. Now, that bad boy is about $112. If you get the normal one, which doesn't have the backlit, it's $96. But I'm in for a penny, in for a pound on this guy, because I'm going to buy one. It's going to last, and it's the good stuff.
What's $18, right?
Yeah. And then there's the accessories on top of that $18. Actually, what was that? $16. But you can buy a silicone boot for it to protect it. That's $8. Even better, get the one that has a magnetic glow-in-the-dark silicone boot for a mere $3 more. Now, the glow-in-the-dark really doesn't do anything for me. Maybe, you know, entertains your kids. But the magnetic, well, first of all, the boot will protect it. The magnetic boot makes it easy to put it on the side of your refrigerator or on your canopy while you're brewing or wherever else that has metal and is magnetic. So the TheraPen, it's sort of like a garage door opener. Yeah. You don't really need a garage door opener. You can get out your car and close your garage just fine. And then when you get home, you know, you can get out of your car, even if it's raining, and open your garage. But
right.
Boy, if, when you have one,
oh, yeah.
You're glad you have one.
Yeah, you never go back.
Yeah. All right, next cool gizmo, the March pump. Now, I already talked about the March pump, but that's not really what I'm going for here. First off, if you don't have a March pump yet for your brew day, get a March pump. It's about $160, and you don't need to be a 10-gallon brewer or a 15- or 20-gallon brewer to make it worth it. For a 5-gallon brew, still worth it, the way it recirculates and helps clear your beer and throughout the processes of your brewing day. Fantastic. But I'm talking about some of the accessories that if you do have a March pump that you're going to want with it. One of them is the polysulfone disconnect, if I said that first word right. It's a kind of disconnect that you'll use on your pump, on your kettle, on your hot liquor tank, so that you can connect all your tubes real easy. And it's the good stuff. It can take the heat. You can buy it at various homebrew online stores like Northern Brewer or More Beer or even U.S. Plastic, which is not a homebrew shop, but you can get a lot of stuff there. And it's about, give or take, $15 for the female disconnect and $8 for the male disconnects. You'll have to, of course, add up all the disconnects you would need between, you know, hot liquor tank and your mash tun and your kettle and all that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to buy what you need the most of.
Sure.
Ball or thread version, that's up to you. I would advise stock up on at least one set of replacement O-rings. Now, if you buy it from any normal homebrew shop, those things are 99 cents each, which is outrageous. You can do better. On Amazon, you can find those very similar silicone O-rings. They are 5/8 inch inside diameter, 3/4 inch outside diameter, and 1/16 inch width. Get a pack of 100 for $8, way better than 99 cents for each individual one. And don't forget to throw in a little item of keg lube. Sounds very dirty to say this on a podcast, but it's only $4. You can buy that at Northern Brewer or most any homebrew shop, but it's basically a lifetime supply when you get one of those things. You only need a little, last a long time. Now, the next...
A little dab will do you.
Exactly. This next gizmo totally fits the definition of a gadget. You don't need it, but it's easy to get and pretty cool to use. What it is the Woods Outdoor Remote Control Outlet Converter Kit. A lot of words. But it's very cost efficient for all these big words because it doesn't cost much. I'll tell you how much in a second. It was mainly intended for remote control of your security lights or holiday light decorations, but you can use it for your March pump. And you may think, well, really? Do I need it for a March pump? It's right there. I can turn it on and off. Yeah, you'd think that, but there's a lot of times during your brew day, you're mucking around, setting up, changing things, and it's time to turn on your pump, and it's not even close to being in arm's reach. Mm-hmm. And you got to walk over things, or it's a mild hassle sometimes.
Sure.
But if you had just a button in your hand or in your pocket, brewing gets funner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if that pump is running dry, you shut it down.
Yeah, you want to. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you want to do it now.
Yeah.
It's basically the outlet converter kit. It's a small box that plugs into an extension cord, and then you would plug your pump into that outlet converter. The remote control has two simple buttons, on and off, and is the size of a car key remote. Its range, they claim, is about 60 feet. Never tested that, but more than enough for your brew day, because you're only, I can't imagine you being more than 15, 20 feet away from your pump when you need to actually do something.
My homebrew rig is so big.
How big is it?
I need a 60-foot range on my remote control.
Nice. They claim it's weatherproof base. Well, what I can tell you is that my converter kit has been in a puddle of water many times, has never failed.
Yeah.
How much would you pay for this delightful gizmo?
Call the next 10 minutes and...
It's all of $10 from Amazon.
Damn.
That's nothing. I mean, even if you find out you're not really sure, I mean, what's $10? But if you got a March pump, it's very cool to be able to remotely turn it off and on during your brew day. Now, it comes in multiple variations of frequency channels. That is, you could have multiple of these, and they could be on different channels. But if you order from Amazon, it's random which channel frequency you get. The alternative is you can buy it from Home Depot for $15 under the brand name of WesTech. The one on Amazon, the brand is Woods. At Home Depot, it's WesTech. But at least at Home Depot, you can see what the frequency channel is right on the package, if that's important to you. All right?
Sound good? I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, another gizmo, of course, is your stir plate. Now, that's not really too much fancy one. I always like to tell people stir plate for your starters, and I always recommend the HI-190M mini stir from labdepot.com for $75. But, you know, I understand that First Magnitude has a big boy stir plate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you'll have to wait till the next segment for that
yeah.
one.
But how... Okay, we'll do that then. Now, another cool gizmo of firing a few at you real quick is a vacuum sealer for your hops.
Oh,
keep them fresh. Just go with the popular one that works, the Food Saver. I prefer the Model V2244. That you can buy that practically anywhere, Walmart, online, about $80. And here is a software gadget for you. That if you're not already aware of this, it's they got some handy calculators. Calczilla.com. Heard of it?
Have not.
All right. Calczilla.com. Besides having your ordinary hydrometer temperature correction calculator, which many websites have, it has a forced carbonation calculator, which tells you what PSI to put your tank on, depending on how many volumes of CO2 you want and at what temperature you're keeping your keg at. It also has a keg line balancing calculator, which will help you decide how long minimum length of your beverage line needs to be in order that you can use it, whether it's a picnic faucet or a normal tap, so that it doesn't come out foamy.
That's cool.
Yep.
That is seriously cool.
And another one is a sanitation dilution calculator. Now, you probably already know if I have 5 gallons of water and I want to sanitize it with Star Stain, you know to put an ounce in it. But what if you only want a half gallon or a gallon or something smaller? Well, no need to do heavy math. It'll do it for you. And you can't beat the price. It's free.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, would you believe we're about to do a tune break? Up next, more gizmos, but first some music. You're listening to Homebrew Talk on Grow Radio.
Go, go, Gadget Copter!
Homebrew Talk. They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy. I wanna roll with the gangsters, but so far they all think I'm too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. I'm just too wide.
got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40, I'll just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary, you'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry, Stephen Hawking's in my library. My MySpace page is all totally pimped out, got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to a thousand places, ain't got no grills, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise, I'm a whiz at Minesweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're gonna stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I'll set the place ablaze. There's no killer app I haven't run, at Pascal, well I'm number one. Do vector calculus just for fun, I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song, I can sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on, I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. Here's the part I sing.
You see me roll on my Segway, I know in my heart they think I'm wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy?
Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy. I like to roll with the gangsters, although it's apparent I'm too wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
I'm just too wide and nerdy.
How'd I get so wide and nerdy?
Been browsing, inspecting X-Men comics, you know I collect them. The pens in my pocket, I must protect them. My ergonomic keyboard never leaves me bored. Shopping online for deals on some writable media, I edit Wikipedia. I memorize Holy Grail really well, I can recite it right now and have you ROTFLOL. I got a business doing websites, websites. My friends need some code, who do they call? I do HTML for them all, even made a homepage for my doll. Yo, I got myself a fanny pack, they were having a sale down at the Gap. Spend my nights with a roll of bubble wrap. Pop, pop, hope no one sees me getting freaky.
I'm nerdy in the extreme and whiter than sour cream.
I was in AV club and glee club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard, what do I like, Kirk or do I like Picard?
Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair, got my name on my underwear. They see me strolling, they laughing and rolling their eyes, cause I'm so wide and nerdy.
Just because I'm wide and nerdy.
Just because I'm wide and nerdy.
All because I'm wide and nerdy.
Holy cow, I'm wide and nerdy. I wanna bowl with the gangsters, but oh well, it's obvious I'm wide.
I'm just too wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
I'm just too wide and nerdy.
Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
Homebrew talk.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live. But if this ever changed, live and let die. Live and let die. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Homebrew Talk. I believe that is the first time we've been able to work in a Weird Al song into our themes.
You know, in 4 years, that's shocking. But yes, we had a little White and Nerdy from the Straight Outta Linwood album. That was Weird Al. And then, of course, we had Guns N' Roses doing the Wings classic, Live and Let Die.
Yeah, and why did we play that?
Well, you know, that was, if you recall, that was a James Bond song. And, you know, who has better gadgets than 007?
We better go see the Answer Man.
You're right. It's time to go see Mr. Whoopi.
You know, Ron, I've been called many things before, but I think this is the first time I referred to as Mr. Whoopi.
It could be worse.
It could be worse.
Get your 3D BB out.
Oh, man, for sure, for sure. So, all right, we're going to continue on with the gadget theme here on Homebrew Talk. And Ron alluded to our stir plate that we have at the brewery. You know, you probably started out like me with the swirl every time you think about it method for doing your starters. You know, then you may have spent $50 or so on a stir plate at your local homebrew store, which I did that too. But if you want to go big, if you want to get gadget on it,
yeah,
get a VWR hot plate stir. This thing is unbelievable. Not only is it a stir plate, but it also has a heating element in it, and so it can heat the liquid up to, you know, whatever temperature you choose. So if you wanted to steam sterilize your flask before you get your starter going, you can do it. The one that we have is big enough to hold a 6 gallon carboy, so you can make as large a starter as you like.
6 gallons and 6 gallon carboy.
Yeah,
that's pretty hard to believe.
Would you believe a quart?
You're right. It is unbelievable.
It's true. It's true. But you don't need, I mean, generally speaking, you don't need anything that big. But
that's loser talk.
Well,
come on,
you know, I mean, if you're doing a starter for the 1.5 barrel batch that we do in our pilot, it comes in very handy.
I can give you a very good reason why a homebrewer would want it.
All right,
let's say that you have a homebrew club event, like Big Brew, and you're in charge of making starters for everybody. Well, there you go. That thing will do the job.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be one variable that could be a constant for everybody, and then
Have your club go buy one.
There you go. Well, you know, I was looking around because I know that everybody's doing searches right now to find out what they can find out about a VWR hot plate stir. The one that I was able to find was a 2.5 liter model, and it came in at $463. So a little bit pricey.
Okay,
but good stuff. Anyways,
just your club can have a fundraiser.
Your club can have a fundraiser, and you'll be glad you did. Going on, my next item that I think is not a must have, but certainly nice to have, is finishing hydrometers. So most folks, just have a standard hydrometer that you can use to check your gravity. And that is important, right, Ron?
Quite. Don't make me scold you.
That's one of Ron's biggest pet peeves, with the Hogtown Brewers. If you don't check your gravity, man, come on, get in the game.
Yeah. Don't walk in my path.
So anyways, they make hydrometers instead of just the standard ones. You can get three narrow range precision hydrometers. I was looking around on Northern Brewer. They have one for original gravities that or high gravity beers that go from 1060 up to 1130. A mid-range that goes from 1 to 1070, and then a finishing range that goes from 0.98 to 1.02.
You know what we need to find out, and I didn't even think of that.
What's that?
But maybe we'll do that on another show. The hydrometer I got goes up to, I think, 130, just like your notes say.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a mead the other week that had like 18 pounds of honey,
mm-hmm.
and the hydrometer and the refractometer couldn't go high enough to measure it. Well, I guess we need a We'll have to find a big boy one. We'll follow up on that one.
And you know, nothing makes you feel more manly
than a big gravity.
When your must outdoes your hydrometer. You have gone to the next level.
I strutted.
At the brewery we have these finishing hydrometers or the narrow range precision hydrometers. They're in Play-Doh units, which is really nice. And the really cool thing about ours, now they were $40 each, so they're pretty pricey. But the really cool thing about them is they have a temperature or a thermometer built in, and so you can take a look right there, and you can see what adjustment that you need to make for the temperature of the wort. Now, just like your garage door in the middle of the rainstorm, you can get out and get wet. Mm-hmm. And of course you can take your ThermoPen and you can dip it in that little wort sample and you mm-hmm. can go to Calczilla and make your calculations and adjustments for the temperature of the wort. But hey, why? You know, your hydrometer is going to tell you right there if you have that thermometer. And they do have, I did see that they have those available on Northern Brewer. Kind of got poor reviews, so... You know, buyer beware.
And I would say one catch with that would be if you're going to use that feature, you got to calibrate that hydrometer.
Oh yeah,
in case you know you need to add or subtract a point.
Yeah, yeah, without
or more.
Without a doubt, that's a very important point. But I thought pretty reasonable price for the three hydrometers and a holder rack, $58.99 at Northern Brewer, and that's pretty good. I think that these things. Not only are potentially give you some more accuracy, provided that they're properly calibrated, but when you have old and tired eyes like mine, they're a hell of a lot easier to read.
I hear you.
So, moving on the subject of checking the gravity of your wort, want to move on to refractometers. Now, again, that's pretty much standard equipment. Many of you out there have handheld refractometers, and obviously this is the device for testing your wort on the fly. Especially when you're doing lower gravity beers, you can check those runnings to make sure that the runnings aren't going too low and you're leaching tannins into the beer. Also lets you know when you're checking the overall gravity of your wort, can let you know if your numbers are high and you can keep sparging. Also the great thing about refractometers, of course, only takes a few drops instead of the semi-large sample that you have to take for your hydrometer to work. But, you know, hey, you want to step up your game, go with the digital refractometer. They're, you know, a little bit on the expensive side, runs you about between $120 and $150. The advantages, well, they're a lot easier to read and to calibrate from what I've read online. And, you know, nothing says beer science geek like a refractometer.
I suppose it wouldn't. But I got to tell you that, I mean, that easy to read thing is what gets me intrigued because, you know, you've used a refractometer and you're like, well, what line is it on? You know, got to get the light just right and read it and get a solid line.
It is. And you know, I find when I use my refractometer, it's fairly easy to read if I'm looking into bright sunlight. But indoors, very difficult. There are ways, certainly there's methods that you can calibrate your handheld refractometer. But to me, it's a little bit difficult. And I know that when Eric and I are using refractometers, we frequently get different readings on our own refractometers, and we kind of split the difference and go in the middle with it. So a digital refractometer, really, really a nice gadget to have. And, you know, if you're going to go with the digital refractometer, why not get a digital pH meter?
Why not?
Well, why? Why would you want to do that?
While we're on a roll.
Why would you do that? It's because test strips suck.
Yeah, I mean the best you can do is maybe those pH fast or fast strips.
Fast strips.
They're not cheap.
Yeah,
I've used them. But you can't get that.
It's
fine reading.
It's subjective, and obviously it's important to know the pH of your mash, and you want a pH somewhere in the range of 4.5 to 6. Anything lower than 4.5, the beta amylase enzymatic activity is inhibited, and you're unlikely to get clear wort. If you go higher than 6, then you're risking tannin extraction from the malt husks, and that can get astringency into your beer. So what do you do? Get that digital pH meter. They're more accurate, and as I said, takes the subjectivity out of reading the test strips, and they're not too bad. They're about $50. Now, is it necessary to test your pH after every batch? I would say no, especially if you're really comfortable with your system and you've got a recipe and technique really dialed in. But it is interesting to see the effects of if you're using dark grains or crystal grains over on the overall pH. And do you ever doctor up your pH, Ron?
If you mean my water, surely.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phosphoric acid, of course. Some people use lactic acid. But I'm going to agree with, when you got dark grains in your grain bill, even though I tend to not put the dark grains into the Vorloff, I am interested in what that pH is of the mash, without the dark grains. Because, once in a while, I'll do a dark beer like a stout. And the outcome is I can detect a little acidity in the final beer. Not sure if it's because of my mash. Because I do not yet have that gizmo.
Right.
But, you might be talking me into that.
There you go. There you go. I've used a product called 5-2, and that's essentially what it is. It's phosphoric acid and gives it a buffer in there, and it claims to lock in your wort pH. And I haven't checked it with a digital pH meter, but with the test strips, it seems to do the job pretty nicely. So on the subject of meters, if you really want to geek out, get yourself a CO2 meter. Now, the Calczilla thing that you were talking about sounds like, it can give you the appropriate calculation.
So, yeah, get you in the neighborhood.
Yeah, gets you in the ballpark anyways. But do you really know?
What do we ever really know?
What does Calczilla know? I mean, it's not measuring anything. It's just telling you what it's going to be. So if you really want to know how much CO2 is in there, you can get yourself a dissolved CO2 sensor. And so normally how I would do it as a home brewer, I would just put the keg on about 20 PSI. I'd leave it there. I'd check it in about 36 hours, check it again 48 hours. And usually it was done. I was just completely going by taste. And and usually that did, a fine job of carbonating my beer. But if you really need to know, you can get that dissolved CO2 sensor, and you get some fittings that will connect to your corny keg, and you allow the beer to flow into a 1-liter container. And you'll fill that container completely, and then there's a discharge tube that will exit the container, and you let the beer flow until it's no longer foaming. And then you're going to stop, cut it off, and you're going to shake it like crazy for 30 seconds. Now, on top of it, there is a thermometer and also a pressure gauge on top. And so after 30 seconds, you note the temperature of the beer sample, and you note the reading on the gauge, and there's a chart on the side, and it will tell you how many volumes of CO2 are in the beer. Really pretty cool. Now, for the home brewer, rather expensive. They're about $250. So even better than getting your own CO2 meter, find a friend that has a CO2 meter.
Or a club.
That would be a cool thing for a club. It's really important to have consistency in your carbonation, of course. Most bars and restaurants are set up to push beer at 2.5 volumes, so you want to make sure that your beer that you're putting out is in that range. So the CO2 meter is right, really essential.
For you commercial brewers.
Sure, for us commercial brewers.
You home brewers, you can't put yours in a
bar. Well, right. But I'm just saying, for consistency's sake, that's an important thing. And, the great thing at First Magnitude, nobody ever complains about, hey, can you go run a CO2 test on that beer? No, there's never, ever a complaint in the brewery about doing that. Why? Because when you're done, you have a liter of beer that you need to drink.
Nice.
It's good stuff. So hopefully we've given you a little bit of enlightenment on some gadgets there and some thoughts maybe to add to your holiday wish list. But right now, we're going to have a BrewTune break. You're listening to Homebrew Talk on Grow Radio.
What's up, Chief? Why the magenta alert?
Homebrew talk.
You can't always get
reflections in a glass was a bleeding man. She was practiced at the art of deception. Well, I could tell by her bloodstained hands.
You can't always get what you want.
It just might find.
And welcome back to Homebrew Talk, and that might have been only the second time with a tune break of one song. Long one, though.
That was the that was an epic opus from the Rolling Stones doing, of course, You Can't Always Get What You Want, and, you know.
That's gadgets,
that's
man.
That's gadgets. That's gadgets, exactly.
Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good.
You know, I find it really hard to go through a brew day without any music.
Oh, yeah.
You can agree with me on that, right?
Gotta have your jams, sure.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm sure homebrewers who are brewing, maybe they got a radio in the garage or wherever they're brewing, or maybe they do something cool, such as they've got their phone, an app, maybe Pandora, and they are putting their tunes through a speaker, or even better, a wireless Bluetooth speaker, which are everywhere these days, $30 and up, you can get you one. But I try and do a little more than that. Now, you've been over to my place, of course.
I have.
And whether I'm brewing or not, but on the days I'm brewing, you know, I got the music going in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, you don't just stay in the garage or right outside your garage. Sometimes you have to go back in your house and get some ingredient or some equipment or raid the fridge or whatever you need to do. And in my house, the music's in the garage. I go into the kitchen. What do you hear? The same music, right? Then I go, oh, well, I got to head over to my office and look up something. So I walk through the living room, and in the living room, you hear the same music. And then I'm in my office, but you get the point.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't matter what room you walk in my house, you hear that song. There's no interruption in the song.
No, not at all.
Because you just walk, and I dig that. And the way, of course, I accomplish that is, well, I've got my house wired with speakers. No, I don't. They're wireless speakers.
Mm.
So I've got them in each room, and that's the gadget I'm kind of hitting on here is right. Some wireless speakers for you. And there's plenty of them out there, and One type that I can recommend is the 900 megahertz wireless indoor-outdoor speaker by C2G or Cables to Go. And they give very good quality, very low interference, because you've got possible interference from cell phones, microwaves, but it works well. And you can get the two speaker kit starting at 100 and add on a speaker about $60. Some of the better models that they offer do go up more than that. But that is my little offering of, hey, when you're brewing, don't be missing out on the music.
No, I can't be doing that. It's like, it's like visiting the men's room at a sports bar. You know, you can't miss the play.
Exactly. I like the ones that have TVs in them, too.
Oh, yeah, even better.
Hey, so John, what's brewing?
Man, that was the most, that was the smoothest segue. That only comes with 4 years of experience on the air. So what's brewing? Well, tonight on Homebrew Talk. I blew it. Okay. So saying goodbye to an iconic craft beer bar in Gainesville, this is what's brewing.
That.
Cue the Homer Simpson. Dope. All right. So tonight on Homebrew Talk, we're paying tribute to one of my favorite places here in Gainesville. And those of you that live in the greater Gainesville area probably know that Stubby and Steins announced last week that they were closing their doors this Saturday.
Ugh.
You know, once again, a crackerjack on the spot internet journalism here at Homebrew Talk. When they opened on University Avenue, just right around the corner from the Grow Radio studios here, when they opened up 12 years ago, I was excited to say the least, but I thought, you know, this is never going to work. You know, craft beer in Gainesville at that time was Killian's Red and Guinness. And, you know, when they opened with a wide selection of great imports and American craft, I was like, man, that's fantastic. But again, I didn't think it was going to fly in this town. But I was certainly wrong, and I'm very happy that I was. You know, they've developed an incredibly loyal following, myself included. They were actually the first place in town to have First Magnitude on tap. We got great, great advice and guidance from Berkeley, the owner of Stubby's and Steins, as we prepared to launch the brewery. So I eternally have a debt to her, and just a great place. Really sad to see it go. This is your last chance. So Gainesville, get down to Stubby's and raise a glass between now and Saturday, because Saturday is last call. And when we say last call, it is the last call at Stubby's and Steins. You know, the other thing that really stinks about them closing is I can't think of another place in Gainesville that has authentic German fare as far as food is concerned. So
don't forget it. Yeah, the restaurant side of it was quite good.
Yeah, the restaurant side was I was all about that too. So, anyways, thanks Stubby's for a great run, and I certainly think that you guys had a lot to do with the craft beer movement in Gainesville and educate. I know I personally learned a lot about beer by patronizing Stubby's, and you will definitely be missed. So, as we always say on Homebrew Talk, support your local breweries and support your local craft beer bars.
Boy, I'm sure glad that's over with. Me too! Yeah, but you know, I learned something today.
Yeah, I say, you know, give in to your inner nerd, because, you know, think about some of these toys we mentioned and then go grab one.
Right along those lines, I say fly your beer nerd flag high. Get yourself one or more of these gadgets to improve your brew day. Because after all, this is beer science, damn it.
Would you believe we're done here at Homebrew Talk? We'll be back next month. But if you can't wait, you can always check out our past podcast at homebrewjockey.com.
Missed it by that much.